Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Episode 15, here we go. Welcome into the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, live as always here from the WGN Radio Studios on the beautiful Mag Mile, high atop the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. You can follow me at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. My man Scott King, my co-host over here to my right, he is from the publication known as The Red Eye. Follow him on Twitter at Scott King Media. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day to you, sir.
Happy Wednesday. Did you have a nice All-Star weekend, Michael?
I did. I was working, and I actually did work the NHL All-Star game here at WGN Radio, but it was a good weekend. A lot of good sports going on.
It had to be much longer than a regular game, right, with all the tournament.
Yeah, the tournament. See, nobody knew how this tournament style was going to turn out and how long it was going to be. And in terms from a radio standpoint, because we actually played the NHL All-Star game. We took the feed from Nashville. And it was a strange setup. So when do you put commercials here? When do you? Because nope, we've never experienced it before. So that was the one thing. And we're going to get a lot into the NHL All Star Game.
Yes,
there was a lot of time in between. Obviously, you need a lot of time in between when you got 3-on-3, and these guys need to catch their breath a little bit. But overall, I think most people would consider it a success.
I agree.
So 100%. I think, and we've got lots of opinions on that, and John Scott and his quote-unquote scrap with Patrick Kane. We'll talk a little bit what happened last night, too, out in Denver. The Blackhawks start off on a positive note here for the second half of the year. And I hate saying the second half of the year because it's really not the second half of the year.
It's a little more.
They've already played 53 games. But so we'll get into that a little bit. Corey Crawford, amazing once again.
He's not letting down at all.
And Jonathan Toews did not play in that game. He was suspended because he was sick.
You know, Toews always getting in trouble.
Yeah, you know, doctor says that he's sick, says he shouldn't do this, gets suspended. Oh, yeah, Alex Ovechkin was suspended as well because they both skipped the All-Star game due to various ailments. I think Toews was a little more realistic.
Yeah. Because you could see it, and the doctor makes a comment. But I have a lot to say about that later because there's some other guys that I think got off. Similar things.
And then Victor Svedberg, he gets called up. We're going to get into a couple of your fans' questions, which you can enter either on Facebook at facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy or by using the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy on Twitter. And we have King's Keys, which are your keys to the next couple of games for the Blackhawks so they can pick up a couple of extra points. But before we got on the air today, like literally about 10 minutes ago, because we taped this on Wednesday afternoon, we got huge news in the NHL. Now, it does not deal with the Blackhawks, but this is a huge story.
It's big, and it kind of sets a precedent is what it does. So even though it's just a Blackhawks podcast, you want to talk about something like this always.
And it involves Calgary Flames defenseman Dennis Wiedemann. Now, for those of you that do not know the story, and if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a pretty hardcore hockey person.
Yeah.
So, or not maybe hardcore, but you're a hockey fan. So you've probably heard this story, but for those who haven't, Dennis Wiedemann last week cross-checked a linesman, a referee, right in the back, Don Henderson.
Yeah.
Cross-checked him.
The guy had no idea it was
coming. And if you've seen the video, to me, in my opinion, there is no question he did that on purpose. He tried to say it was unintentional.
Yes.
And then people are saying, oh, maybe he was a little woozy from a hit, whatever. To me, it was so intentional, it wasn't even close.
And that hit you just referred to is almost a motive. He kind of took a hit like on the side, maybe in the shoulders, on the boards. Maybe he wanted a boarding call or roughing or something like that. And, yeah, the video did not look good. And his excuse after was he didn't see him. But you in that video, it looks like he's in his line of sight the whole way he's skating slowly to the bench from the corner.
And you know what? Actually, I have Dennis Wiedemann talking about it last week following the game. Here's his explanation of the hit.
Took a pretty hard hit and down in the corner and had some pretty good pain in my shoulder and my neck. And I was just trying to get off the ice and I was kind of keeled over. And at the last second, I looked up and I saw him and, you know, I couldn't avoid it. I think I went up to Donnie and I apologized to him on the ice. I didn't see him. I didn't know where to go or how to get out of the way of him. And I didn't realize. I think throughout my career, I've been around for a few years and I think I've treated every official with the utmost respect, and I would never intentionally try to hit a linesman or a ref or anything like that. And it was completely unintentional, and I already apologized to him.
So that's his lame excuse right there. And so he was suspended indefinitely last week, and we were kind of waiting when this punishment was going to come down. A lot of people thought 10 games. And by the way, mm-hmm. I'm going to throw this out there too. He wasn't even penalized. He played the rest of the game. Was not penalized for that.
Yeah, you think that the other officials wouldn't what? Want it happening to them. I mean, that guy took a bad hit. And we've heard speculation too that, you know, if he's woozy from the hit, maybe some excuses where maybe he thinks he's a player on the other team. That was an excuse, and maybe why people thought he'd only get 10 games. But my whole thing with that is, if he thinks he's hitting a guy on the other team, that guy's back is still turned and the puck is nowhere near him, and he levels him to the ground. That is a very dangerous play, and it's even more ridiculous that it was not an official.
The Nashville colors aren't that similar to the Zebra colors, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
And that's who the Flames were playing. So it came down today, his punishment, 20 games. Now, do you think 20 games? There was a lot of people that thought he should have been banned from the league.
And
some people said a one-year suspension.
Yep.
A lot of people thought 20 games sounded about right. A lot of people said, nah, 10 games is... To me, I would say a one-year ban. That's just me. Because
I would have been fine with that.
You endangered this referee, this linesman, Don Henderson's life.
Yeah, he had no idea he was going to get hit from behind. It wasn't one of those where you
up
see...
Up against the boards!
Yeah, it wasn't one of those where you see maybe an official breaking up a fight, and a guy gets a little mad and shoves the ref, and they're face-to-face. This was hit him right down the ice from behind. Could not defend himself. Didn't know it was coming. What I said was I'm a little happy with 20 games. I always wanted at least 20, maybe 20 to 30. If they wanted a year ban, even a lifetime ban, I would not have a problem with that. You cannot do that to an on-ice official, let alone a defenseless player. I have a lot of trouble with those kind of hits. But this is on a guy who's officiating the game, and they have to set a precedent here. It's a very dangerous thing.
So Weidman gets 20 games. He's also going to be forfeiting $564,000. Due to that suspension, and then all that money is going to go to the Players Emergency Assistance Fund. So he essentially becomes a $500,000 fine in 20 games. I still think that a life ban is deserved in this. I mean, you have to me, when you have something this egregious, you have to set an example.
Yeah, and that official did go to the hospital.
Yeah.
I forgot his symptoms, but he did go to the hospital. I believe he was at least nauseous.
He had a neck issue.
Yeah,
and,
there you go.
I mean, he was hurting.
And the thing is, too, that I guess the only defense is with 20 games being okay is this is not – I don't think he's a repeat offender with these types of things. I know he's a good, decent player. He's actually on my fantasy team last year. Got me a lot of points. But this is not a Rafi Torres where this has happened time and time again, and his only role in the league is putting illegal hits on people. This is a good player. So that's another reason that I think that – and with a good reputation. That's why I think 20 – games is okay. That was in my lower end of what I thought was acceptable.
And Weidman has a right to appeal the suspension, so he probably will.
Could change, yeah.
You would think that he probably will.
I don't think it will in this. This is pretty ridiculous. I don't think it's going to, in this case, change at all.
If you're the Calgary Flames, you would like him not to, but he has that right to. I think this is one of those you just accept the punishment, you move on with the way social media is and the way our news coverage is now. Unfortunately, people will probably forget about this right away, but then if you appeal it and keep dragging this out, and then it'll keep the attention on the entire situation. I think you just want to move past it.
Yeah, which is very negative for his reputation.
And also, too, I'm actually reading this article on ESPN right now. In October of 2008, Mike Pekka, he had a 10-game suspension for grabbing the arm of a referee. Just grabbing his arm, and he got 10 games.
That you don't go to a hospital for.
No, but he got 10 games for that, but then it got knocked down after he appealed it to 5 games. If you grab a ref's arm, you shouldn't do that. You're not supposed to touch the ref, whatever. You get 10 games for it. If you want to appeal that, that's fine. You cross-check and endanger the life of a ref, you should not be appealing any sort of suspension, whether it's 20 games, whether it's a life ban.
You can, but it might not change. It might not change at all, and it shouldn't.
So we'll see how that plays out. So, again, Dennis Weidman, Calgary Flames defenseman, gets 20 games and about a $500,000 fine,
yeah.
What a $560,000 fine for his role in that vicious hit on referee Don Henderson. So we'll move on from there here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast.
Breaking news right before the show.
We have to do it.
Yeah.
We bring the people the news, Scott King,
that's
and I'm in the radio
news.
Business, and that's what we have to do. We have to give the people
You're
what
real
they
showman.
Want. We got to give some analysis on this breaking news. So So that's it. So Dennis Weidman, 20 games, done. Boom. Moving on. Actually, moving back, we'll go to the All-Star game. Now, I was working the game. I know you obviously were watching it, and a lot of people watched it. They got that was some of their best ratings that they've gotten in a very, very long
time.
They
beat the Pro Bowl.
And NBC Sports Network, by the way, they've got to be happy about that, because I'm thinking, why wouldn't they put it on NBC?
Everyone should be happy about it, NHL.
But they want to promote the NBC Sports Network as much as possible, so they put it on there. Smart move. They end up getting great ratings. The three-on-three format, I would say they knocked it out of the park for the most part. I think I've talked to probably 20 people, and I would say 18 of them, if I had to guess, maybe a 90% range. Actually, I don't quote me on that. I'm not good at math. But somewhere in that area, I would say liked it. They enjoyed the three-on-three format.
It worked really well. Because it wasn't just how you see some three-on-three, you know, with Taves and Kane in regulation games in a season where you've seen the more skilled guys, usually Kane and Taves and sometimes Panarin in there, those games are over right away. This was the rules changed where it was two periods. So you saw a lot of skilled plays.
Two 10-minute periods.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw a lot of skilled plays, but you also saw some great goaltending because you have the – minus Rene, you have the best goalies in the league there facing these guys in three-on-three. I think it was the championship or maybe one of the semifinal games, if not the championship, where you had a fantastic goalie battle. It was quick, and I forgot who the other goalie was. But it was a championship game because that was the most low scoring game.
I remember John Gibson from the Ducks had a really nice save.
They might have changed in periods,
but it wouldn't have been the game against the Kings, as that was both Pacific.
But
Division,
I remember Quick and whoever was facing him was just
Some fantastic saves and throughout the entire tournament.
So I think they nailed it. You see some great goaltending, you see some skill, and you're not seeing 30 goals in each game. The rules really helped us be more entertaining and more competitive. And it looked like guys were going at least three quarters. Everyone wanted, you know, everyone on a team gets almost $100,000 if you win, and the MVP gets a car. And we know how that worked out.
Especially the championship game. You could see, I mean, it was 0-0 forever.
Yeah.
I mean, in that championship game.
It was
game.
Like a
they
playoff
were,
game.
They were
it was
trying.
Great.
It's like extra $90,000. Yeah.
It was a tight checking going on there.
Thank you. I mean, extra $90,000, that's a fully loaded Range Rover and some change.
I mean, no matter who you are, what kind of contract you have, that's a good day at the office.
Yeah. And then you get to spend the weekend in Nashville, and oh, yeah, you could take home $90,000. Yeah, why not try a little bit hard? So you kind of alluded to it right there. The man, the king of the All-Star game, it turns out being who the NHL didn't even want him to be a part of and tried to force him to not show up. It ends up being John Scott. Two goals, gets in a fun little scuffle with Patrick Kane, wins the MVP award, becomes the first star. He was named the first star of January.
It was just the week, I think.
Or for the week.
That would have been
the week.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, not the month of January.
I wish it was for January. It should have been.
But still, I mean, he just kind of said, all right, NHL, here's a good old bird flip to you, buddy.
Look, he had...
Hey, and this one's for you too, Gary. Congratulations on the extension, by the way.
Yeah.
How weird is that?
He
handles something so poorly.
He rewards himself.
And then he gets a six-year extension.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, John Scott, congratulations to him. What a lot of fun.
He had a very, very special night and really a special weekend overall. I mean, he fired a decent slap shot in there for the hardest shot, 95-something. But just his performance in the All-Star game, in the All-Star tournament, I mean, as you said, two goals, MVP. But, I mean, championship captain. And because he's the first championship captain in a three-on-three format, they took his helmet to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
How
unreal
cool
is that? For
that's
a guy
awesome.
Like him, guy like me, is the name of his wonderful Players Tribune article. But yeah, I think, first of all, he handled it with such class. In the story, he does say that, you know, look, an NHL official called me and said, how would you – do you think your daughters will be proud of this? Brings his family into it. I mean, how ridiculous – and it's insulting as that.
The NHL is trying to guilt trip him and saying, hey, man, don't embarrass yourself.
And then, you know, it's alleged, the evidence is there, make your own decision, then the trade is orchestrated right before the All-Star game.
Yeah, and then he gets buried in the AHL. And he gets sent to, he gets sent north of the border, too. So get out of the country, by the way, too.
So not only does he handle everything with class and he's all smiles, taking pictures of reporters, and you see how the fans and more than that, the players receive him there. They're all happy he's there.
He was cheesing the whole time.
But he turns
cheesing from ear to ear the whole time.
And he turns, and when it comes time to play, he turns it on. He gets two goals in a semifinal game. And that first goal, it was a set play So yeah, maybe he got some help from his teammates, but good for him, for he made a good play on the boards, and they did that play that was drawn up before, and he taps it in. Some decent skills there in winning the battle and scoring there. But then for his second goal is a breakaway opposite corner wrist shot. I mean, you take any guy in that tournament, they're going to miss that 8 out of 10 times. Who would have thought that John Scott would score a breakaway opposite corner like that? That was such a skilled shot. And you got to be so happy for him, because how many times has he heard he's just a bum, he's just a goon?
I thought he was going to get embarrassed out there.
I think a lot of people did. I think,
I'll be the first to admit. I thought he was never going to be able to keep up.
I was just hoping that wouldn't happen. I mean, you do have some of the best players in the game that are fast, that are used to this 3-on-3 format. But I've seen him score before. I've seen him. I was first row at one game he played, and he hit the crossbar like from the blue line. So I knew he has a good shot, and he could skate a little bit, especially for his size. But, you know, he usually does have a role where he's just an enforcer. So for him to be underestimated and a lot of people to think he wouldn't be able to keep up, to see him get voted as the MVP. And the NHL, they didn't stop screwing up the situation. They didn't even have him listed on the ballot with the hashtags as the MVP after he has two goals. And just one goal wins the final game.
And then you heard the chants going on.
17,000 people
chanting. At Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. It was a pretty cool moment. And nobody was helping him out, by the way, with those celebrations, too. How great were those?
Oh, my God. The first one was the Subban touched the ice, throw it up.
That was fantastic. That kind of just set the whole tone for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of fun. I know, like I said, I was working here, so we took the actual Nashville broadcast. I did not hear Eddie and Doc on the NBC network.
They were great, as always.
I heard it was awesome.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
They really made it a lot of fun. So it was. I think overall, the NHL's got to be pretty happy. Ratings are up. It seemed couldn't ask for anything better.
They sold out of Scott T-shirts the first day. I think even before media day started, they sold out of them. And you mentioned Kane before too. I thought that was such a nice gesture by Kane. A lot of people just thought it was funny that after Kane scores, Scott was covering him, and Kane scores, and right before he put a body check on Kane, he knocked Kane over.
Right
before. I think he forgot he was in the All-Star game.
And then Kane scores the goal, and then he says, "All right, let's crap." I actually have that play call from the Nashville Predators radio network. Listen to this real quick.
Ben holds on to the puck for Kane. He scores.
Oh, Pekka will get an assist on that
yes.
one. Oh, look, here we go. There's a fight. John Scott,
John
Patrick
Scott
Kane.
And Patrick Kane, they've been wanting at each other all weekend.
That's awesome. John Scott laid the first official body check of the game when he hit Kane. I don't think Kane expected it.
Pretty cool that, you know, of all the people on the ice, and Patrick Kane, one of these smaller fellas, of course, that's out there. He's the one who drops the glove. So, and you had a great tweet about that little scrap too.
Yeah, it got some love because they play together in Chicago, and
so yeah, they obviously know
they
each
know each other. Kane, when stuff happens with Scott, I think he scored last year, and I heard reporters ask him about it. He always lights up and says something funny about Scott. You can tell he admires him for his role, but he
was very supportive of him before the game too.
Yes,
saying,
he deserves to be here.
All that
but
stuff.
Yeah, just on Twitter, I had said that it wasn't just Kane trying to create a funny moment and drop the gloves with him. It was the best player in the league saying, "We're glad you're here.
Yeah,
you know, enjoy yourself." This is, and I thought it was really big of Kane to do that.
It's kind of like the one shining moment. Like that's
a Scott movie coming to theaters near you. It has all the makings. His pregnant wife expecting twins with his two daughters.
Here's the question. Who plays John Scott in the movie?
It's a great question. And
you got to have kind of like a
goony. Right, well, here, let me tell you, I got thoughts, and I heard what Scott said yesterday. So let me hear your thought on who you think should play him.
The first guy that came to my head, because you kind of got to be a bigger guy.
Yeah, but
and somebody that
angles,
be, that
CGI,
be funny.
That's not make or break these days. You got different angles, you got CGI.
He's a hockey fan, mm-hmm. So this is the first thing that came into my mind. I didn't even know that John Scott commented on this.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he
okay.
did. I see. I didn't even know.
I'm
thinking Vince Vaughn for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he loves
bigger
John
guy.
Scott
Vince
too.
Vaughn's like 6'6", Scott's 6'8".
Big hockey fan. Yeah.
Huge hockey fan.
Yeah.
And maybe you make a comedy out of it.
Okay, then I'll tell you, I like it. I don't think there's a lot of drama in here, Mike. I don't think we should be laughing our socks off at this what this poor man's been through. But he is hilarious. He's always the funniest guy in the room.
He is very funny.
I thought John Bernthal, who's going to be the Punisher in Netflix Daredevil series, looks like him. He's a smaller guy, but he's every
scary
movie
look.
He plays the cool badass in like every
he's
movie.
Scary.
He was in Walking Dead.
Yeah.
He was in Wolf of Wall Street too. He's a great actor. He plays a good tough guy.
So who is John?
Kind of looks like him.
Who is John Scott's? Like, who did he want?
I actually think this might be a better choice than ours. Liev Schreiber.
Who is that?
Ray Donovan.
Oh, that's Ray Donovan.
Yeah,
I know him.
He's kind of big, and they made him look really big when in the X-Men movie
too.
In the Wolverine, they made him look really big. So
they do look alike,
and he is an
great
awesome
actor.
So that's exciting.
Wow,
to
John
see.
Scott's shooting for the stars on that one.
I gotta get a script out there, man.
That would be yeah.
Maybe Ooh, that'd be a great movie.
Maybe we can co-write. I'll produce. You write the script. Pretty soon it's going to be Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. We're going to be at the Oscars accepting the award.
One of us will be counting some Z's on the couch. The other one working wee hours of the night. Damon and Affleck.
I have a feeling I'll be the one taking the Z's. You'll be the one
writing. I wasn't alluding to that. I think we're both going to work really hard on it.
I think you're full of crap, my friend. Just that look you just gave me right now. You're like, well, this is the jerk that's going to be sleeping over here. Smoking weed and drinking beer.
Hey, I sure didn't say that.
I don't.
Whatever you do before the show is your personal life.
I promise. Actually, I don't.
And it helps the show.
I'm trying to. When you're doing a podcast and or radio, my friend, you try to create. It's a theater of the mind because all you can do is use your ears.
You could always give it up for Lent if you have to.
That's right. That's right. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. At Jacobson Radio is I know my own Twitter.
I wish you just had at Mike.
That would be pretty good.
Oh, awesome. You'd have like 4 million followers.
Like
at Mike.
At MIC or at MIKE.
Ooh, I like the MIC with the radio pun. But
I like it.
It's Mike is such a common name though. It's almost better if you just have at Mike the name.
So
that's actually not what you have.
it isn't, and I'm not the biggest Twitter guy, but I'm getting better at it. My Twitter handle, and this is the truth. At Jacobson Radio, S-E-N, by the way. Jacobson with an E. And you are Scott King from the Red Eye. And you also write a great blog on our website, WGNRadio.com/sports. Make sure you keep up with that throughout the week. You usually do a couple of posts a week.
Yeah.
And you can find him on Twitter at Scott King Media. Our Facebook page is at Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. So one person that did not participate in that All-Star game was Jonathan Toews. He was sick. He did not even play in the third period in the final game against the Hurricanes prior to the break. And due to a ridiculously stupid rule by the NHL, if you don't participate in the All-Star game, you get suspended automatically for the first game after the break. So he did not play last night against the Avalanche in Denver. Luckily, the Blackhawks still get a win. But in my opinion, there's something needs to be done about this rule.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a gray area, too, the last few years especially. I feel like I remember going last year, I covered it, and I had heard Crosby's not going to be there. Then I got to thinking, like, has he ever even played an All-Star game, Sidney Crosby? I think he never does, and maybe he gets his excuse out there a couple weeks ahead of time and, you know, have team doctor say something or surgeon or something. Whatever excuse he uses every time, I don't remember him being suspended for any of those games. So when Toews is obviously showing fatigue in games, and
Q talked about it after the game.
He did, and all the players
said,
are saying
he's been at it. He's been worn out for a while here.
Yeah, and we saw Sekoc miss a game because he was sick, and Nisimov missed a game because he was sick.
Talked
so you
about
know
it
something's
last week.
You know something's going around, and then the team doctor basically excuses Toews in a statement that we all reported. So it's one game, and they won without him. It's good. It's good to see they can play without him. But it is dumb. It's a dumb rule to punish guys like that. I think when there's a legitimate excuse and a team doctor writes it or says it, I think guys can miss. I know you don't want guys to not show up.
So you're playing devil's advocate on that. A lot of people have been saying, well, it wouldn't be the first time a team doctor, and that's true. It's covered up for a player, so you try to help out in his favor.
Sure.
I get that.
Sure.
And I understand the other point, too, in terms of the suspension. This gives players the incentive not to back out that, hey, you're going to lose a game if you do not participate in the All-Star game. And then that gets the stars to stay in the All-Star game. It's not like the freaking Pro Bowl where they invited 85 guys or 133 guys that they eventually had to ask before. I mean, Tyrod Taylor of the Buffalo Bills was your quarterback during the Pro Bowl. I mean, that's how bad that was. So they're trying to get it to a point where it's not that bad. So I see both arguments, but to me, you said it too. There's a gray area, and okay, if some guy, but that's the thing though. You almost would need to set up some sort of council that would say, all right, is this guy full of crap or is this guy for real?
It needs to be more black and white.
Yeah, like I think you have to like go in front of someone or something. There has to be some sort of panel that judges on it. Almost like in a an appeal process, I guess. Yes. Like something like that where somebody makes a final decision. Now, if you've got Taves there and you've got a doctor that goes on a stand or whatever and says, all right, this is the truth. I mean, look at he's there. Look at this is his 103 temperature right here. He's got this. He's got a stomach virus. Here's the blood work. Whatever.
Maybe send a selfie in with the doctor.
Now, maybe the blood work thing. Maybe I'm going a little too far here with that. But you know, the blood work, and I don't know if you can turn that around right away. But
there has to be something can be shown.
There's got to be some sort of process. What happens if? I don't know. I don't like the rule. I think it's stupid. And a guy like Jonathan Taves, a stand-up guy, shouldn't have to lose a game for that. Fortunately, as we just said, you know, they come out with the W last night, but regardless.
I agree with you, and I also understand they're worried about, you know, the top guys, the top stars not being there. But did we notice for a second that Jonathan Taves and Sidney Crosby weren't there? It was a great, entertaining All-Star game.
Exactly.
A lot of because of John Scott, but a lot because that format works so well.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of great plays and great goaltending, like we said. So I think in this league, especially with the All-Star game, you have so many stars that are – maybe even call them second-tier stars, but there's a lot of first-tier ones under Taves and Crosby. So you look at those guys, they're having such a good time. They all want the money, they want a car, and they're just happy to be there and be held in that regard, especially the younger players. And a lot of those guys are great. So I don't think you miss a couple stars if they don't show up because they're sick or have some kind of minor injury maybe they want to watch for the second half of the season. So I think there's enough entertainment, and they need to fix the rule somehow.
Yeah. So no Taves. No problem last night in Denver. They're starting to finally – Avalanche were always a team that kind of was always stuck in their craw a little bit there, the Blackhawks. So they beat them again last night. Richard Panik gets a goal, his third of the season, which was a nice. Svedberg kind of helped set that up too. And Victor Svedberg, we talked about a little bit earlier that he just got recalled. So that was his first game back for a while. And
yeah.
I mean, he played, I think, 15 games prior to that. I mean, he was – he's a big man. Man, is he a big man.
Yeah, and to be new to the team and play as much as he did early on, you could tell Quenneville really trusts him and comes back. He doesn't miss a step. I thought he looked solid when he played before, making good plays. He fires a guy that big. He has a hard shot, obviously, from the blue line. And I think he looked good last night. And he set up, like you said, he set up that first goal. So, you know, someone asked about it in the questions. We'll get to it later, but something interesting might happen with him with Roosevelt being out. And you saw a lot of trust go with him already.
And there you go. That's what you call a tease, my friend.
I like to tease the questions.
We will get to the fans.
You got to keep listening, guys.
We'll get to the fans' questions here in just a few minutes, actually. And second line strikes again. Panarin, who had a funny little expression after he scored his goal yesterday.
He always does.
So that's his 18th of the year. He's got 18 goals. He's got 47 points on the year that leads all rookie.
Third for the Hawks in goals.
Crazy.
Think of who they have, this rookie from Russia.
Yeah. And then
he's up there.
And then we saw Tavo winning some draws yesterday.
He fills in for Taves, and he looks great on the first line. He's making plays. I thought he's making plays.
We saw Hossa on the top line, too, for a little bit.
Yeah. That's the other thing with Taves being out. I felt like the lines were kind of all over the place, and then Q kind of had the blunder going, and it worked last night. But I thought Taves in the making plays in the corner and from behind the net, he looked like Taves with some of the plays he was making and 50% on the dot, winning 4 of 8 faceoffs. I think you might have said already. He really looked good with that role, and a big reason they won.
And then Crow again stands on his head. Did you see that sequence where he in like 7 seconds he had 5 saves? It was unbelievable.
Yeah, there was that, but there was also a 37-second. Flurry of shots in the third. He made 16 saves in the third period. Just huge again. And
because it was 2-0 it was 2-1 right off the bat. Not right off the bat, but essentially all the action was in the first two periods.
Yeah,
I mean, and then that third period he just had to.
Well, actually, and that's the thing with him. He doesn't like when he only faced 6 shots the whole first period. He doesn't like when there's not a lot of action.
Yeah. Well, you get bored just sitting back there.
Yeah, you need
to
be tested
too.
Yeah,
you get stiff.
You'd be ready to play, and he. He was a second star January, going 9-2-0, as we're talking about him here, with 1.64 goals against average, 0.952 save percentage, 2 shutouts in 11 games in January. So
is that good?
I think it's pretty good. And like Crawford is starting to be like Kane, where we're talking about him a lot and have all season because he's been spectacular.
Tony Esposito was actually on the station earlier this morning and was just singing his praises about how you could just see his progression behind the pipes and that he, like a lot of us have seen and or said, he just seems like he has a new focus this year. He there's just something about him, even when you talk to him in the dressing room afterwards. There's just something different this year. I don't know what it is. He just seems much more focused and on the task at hand, I guess you would say. Not a lot of distractions this year. He hasn't been going to any concerts, at least that we know of, which is a good thing. So.
Oh, he's actually in that great video they posted today. Did you see that?
I did. Oh, the one goal video.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's so another that's another thing. The Blackhawks marketing department, they always knock it out of the park.
Pete Hansen is in charge of all that.
And
he does a fantastic
The one goal campaign is unbelievable in terms of their actual video content, but just the message, you know, essentially that they're trying to pass along. They always knock it out of the park, whether it's with their charity work, whether it's with, you know, the hat trick DVD or
yeah.
their PR department,
they got
their marketing department,
they got
their,
down to a science now.
Their production department, they really do. And that, again, that goes always back to John McDonough and that atmosphere that he brought here. And it's really cool.
You can check it out on their website.
Yeah,
it's all over
ahead.
Social
yeah.
media. It basically, Crawford goes to help babysit a kid. I forgot the kid's exact condition, but I think he has trouble walking and trouble with movement. And Crawford goes and plays hockey with him, cooks macaroni and cheese, and Tavo and Shaw show up. And that's maybe my favorite moment because the kid's friend says to Shaw, like, hey, you ready for – or no, Shaw goes, you guys ready for some road hockey? And the kid goes, street hockey. He goes, oh, you're getting lippy already, huh, kid? Like, Shaw doesn't miss a beat. He talks
to
his kid like he's talking to, like, Andrew Desjardins in the locker room.
Yeah.
He's a little kid. I was cracking up.
And the video, by the way, was shot before Shaw took – pucks to the face and had 97
stitches
in his mouth. So,
yeah, so he looks a little scary for children.
He looks normal there. You can check that out at Blackhawks, Blackhawks.com. So it's really, really cool video.
Two more quick things about Kings. We were talking about Tuesday night. He now has 50% of the goals scored by the Hawks he's assisted on after the assist on Panarin's goal last night. And he also has 74 points just after the halfway point in the season. Mike, you're gonna see him have a couple like multi-point games, and all of a sudden he's knocking on the door of 100. It's insane.
It turns out he's pretty good at hockey.
I think he is.
That's a hot take right here from the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Patrick Kane, breaking news: pretty good at hockey.
But he probably will get to 100 points if he stays healthy.
It's crazy.
It is insane.
It is crazy. This is the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye, and that time of the podcast where we take in the King's Keys.
All right.
The King's Keys, presented by Scott King and the Red Eye. The things that the Blackhawks need to do in the next couple of games to pick up a couple of points.
Scott, I feel like I'm about to make a putt here the way you were calling
that. Scott, this is for you.
All right.
Hear the Masters music in the background? Masters will be here
chirping.
Before you know. Do I sound a little Jim Nancy?
Is that who calls it? What a great name. What
Jim
a great announcer.
Jim Nance? You didn't know he calls the Masters?
Come on. What do I look like, a 60-year-old guy to you?
Oh, my. Masters is fantastic. I'm not even
I enjoy watching golf. I might take a nice little nap, but I enjoy it.
In Butler Cabin, and he's always whispering.
We're going to have them on to call some of the game.
Go ahead with your,
all right.
with your King's Keys.
King's Keys. Number one key, get on the board first. The Hawks are 31-4-2 when scoring first. This is something we might have said before. But once they get that first goal this year, they really preserve the lead well. It's big. It gives them a big jump, obviously. So get on the board first, number one. Key number two, hold on the puck a little longer to generate a better scoring chance. This is something I've seen a little bit. One of the few things that they're lacking maybe this year, and I noticed Shaw do it last night, is he enters the zone and kind of fires a shot off right away, and I think it might have been a 2-on-1 even. Hold on a little longer, you know, pick a corner, make a pass at the last second. That's it. Just get a better scoring chance after holding on to the puck a little longer. Don't get too antsy. So that's it.
And there you go with the King's Keys. Live here from the WGN Radio Studios.
You have to do that every time now.
From the
Tribune. Get a great response. We're going to be at the top of the charts because of you.
Beautiful Tribune Tower.
I should get a little golf clap after the.
Yeah, you should. Maybe put a little golf clap in there. You know, and at the Masters too, at Augusta, they call them. They're not fans that are watching. If you're actually in attendance, it's the patrons that line the beautiful golf course.
That's awesome.
At Augusta National.
Have you heard the Baba Booey's during the guy fires a shot off?
Oh yeah.
Dude, that's hilarious.
The one guy I hate, I don't know why we're just getting on golf here, but the one guy I absolutely hate is put it in the hole. And it's a par,
yeah,
and it's a par
terrible.
Five, and Tiger's driving. Like, dude,
what
come
an
on.
Awful voice that is! I've heard that.
Yeah,
Stop.
I love Baba Booey's. I wouldn't mind
the Baba Booey's is very funny.
Someone ran in the studio and gave us a Baba Booey every couple minutes. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I might. Because we, even though we are a podcast, I'd like to keep the vulgarness out of it, you know.
It's just a name.
I know. It's true. It's true. So we got a couple of questions here from our fans.
Yes,
and you
sir.
Can, that's my phone going off. And
these are important questions.
Yeah, it's very important. And just so you know that there's a new Bulls article out on ESPN.com that my phone wants me to read. So fans' questions, we do this at the end of each podcast. You can submit them via Twitter at Blackhawks Crazy. Use that hashtag, Blackhawks Crazy, all one word. That's how hashtags work. Or you can go to Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy and enter them there. First question, sir, what do you got?
From Michelle Berg, with Roosevelt being out, what's the new move? This is something I teased earlier, as you pointed out.
That's why that's why I wanted you to take that one.
I appreciate it.
Go ahead.
I like to follow through with my teases.
Go ahead.
go ahead.
You can do it.
the new move is, what I was going to say is, I think with Svedberg playing so well in the beginning of the year, and then right away when he got the call yesterday morning and he came back. I think you see him there long term now. Maybe Roosevelt only gets an opportunity once in a while when he comes back, or maybe they want Svedberg around so they can trade him. They can get a left wing to play on the top line.
Ooh.
So I think either way you're going to see him either play more or showcase a little more and then be part of a trade, because he has looked really good with the Hawks.
Next one's from Paul Berry. What's the key to keeping the momentum after this long break? They've already played, by the way. The Blackhawks have played like 6 or 7 more games than a lot of the NHL has. They're ahead of schedule because they had a crazy January, especially in the beginning there. And then, as we saw, they ran out of gas. They lost 3 or 4 before the All-Star break. So I think the rest is a huge part of
the
it.
The rest is huge. You come back right away. I guess thank God Crawford didn't go to All-Star game, because he hasn't lost a step.
No. Keep another thing, too, is just stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because the depth's not really there. Sometimes, not all. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd say naturally you get some momentum. That. Guys had rest. You know, some guys traveled. Hopefully, those 5 days there, guys got over whatever was going around, whatever virus was going around.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, Nikki is scoring first two, and you're probably going to continue to get great goaltending from Crawford. So they've already gotten a ton of momentum from him.
And then the last one from Robert Pacente. Will they try to make a move before the deadline?
Yeah. Whether Svedberg's being packaged or some prospects, you know, they kind of have maybe Scuderi. They really don't need him right now with how things are shaking up on D either. I think you do see some prospects, maybe some defensemen package for, again, a left wing on the top line.
And you know, a guy that's obvious, the guys that you've heard that are on the trading block, and I don't know if the Blackhawks really could pull this off, or if they're that interested. I mean, Jonathan Drouin's been out there for a while.
Yeah, we've talked about him.
And, you know, Dustin Byfuglien and Ladd's getting thrown out there, too.
Byfuglien said you want to stay home, though. So, obviously, I'm sure he wouldn't mind coming back to Chicago. But only other thing I would say on that is, of course, they want to try to at least unload some of Bickle's salary if they can. So maybe he's part of a package, but he's cleared waivers a bunch of times. You don't know what's going to happen with him.
And we got a lot of time before the trade deadline, so we'll get into that in the next couple of weeks. February 29th the trade deadline.
Okay.
I'm just looking up right now. I knew it was at the end of February, but exactly February 29th, 2 p.m. Central
Time. It's
earlier
than last year, I think. Does it change? I felt like it was April last year.
Not April.
That's
March. Yeah, but because of the leap year, maybe. February 29th. You didn't even
leap
catch
years
that.
Screw everything.
You didn't
screw
even catch that.
No.
I would never want to be born on a leap year, because then it's like, what do you go with? Do you go with February 28th?
Some years I'd feel like I don't exist if I was born
on a leap
year.
Yeah, well, it's every 4 years. So do you go with your birthday February 28th, or do you go March 1st?
I have a friend who has a really good theory that with leap years, like, you get all this extra time, and it's just saved up. So we have all this extra time somewhere in the universe.
I think your friend's an idiot, but
I think he has the extracurricular activities that you participated in before the show.
I
maybe.
Did not participate that before the show. I do not do
Look,
that.
Whatever
stuff. That is truthful. I'm okay, being honest.
I'm not ready to test you, but
I enjoy. I will pee right now for you. I will pee right in a cup for you.
I enjoy
occasional cocktail. I do stay away from the wacky tobacky.
Whatever you're doing before the
show.
But
I don't judge.
Whatever you do, keep it up. Everything's going very well. I enjoy coming here.
Well, this was fun. Episode 15
first show,
in the books.
Post All-Star break. Very fun, sir.
Yeah, it was good stuff. It was good stuff. We'll be back here next week for episode 16. We try to do this every Wednesday. We will get this up, and you will be able to consume it later on today. WGNRadio.com. And you can also subscribe on iTunes. Please do that. Please leave some comments there. Just search Blackhawks Crazy. Again, Facebook page, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Follow me on Twitter at Jacobson Radio. Follow Scott King on Twitter at Scott King Media. Hashtag Blackhawks Crazy. You can enter questions that way. Till next week. Talk to you then.